Hello and welcome to Fourth Friday, a KCIW News Magazine show. Over the next half hour, we'll take you to the 4th Annual Brookings Women's March. You'll hear from a local woman who says offering a warm shower can mean making friends from all over the world. Coach Ken will help you to protect yourself from unexpected falls, and we'll explain why the cold air at the North Pole has everything to do with winters in the United States. Stay with us. It all happens right now. I'm Lori Gallo-Stoddard in the KCIW Newsroom, and this is Fourth Friday. If you turn on the radio or television or pick up a newspaper these days, you see a lot of anger. Our country is divided and people have become suspicious of each other. Even the most trusted institutions are being attacked. So why is that? What brought us to this place of anger, mistrust, and so-called fake news? KCIW reporter Dan Ford spent his teaching career studying our government, how it works, how it's changed, and he has some observations.
I think it's a very sad state of affairs that in our country today, at least politically, we are so divided that most of our traditional values and norms have been trashed. Why is this the case? It seems that the respect and decorum that used to surround our three branches of government, both on the national and state levels, has been defeated by forces of greed, corruption, and power. I would remind listeners that these views are my own and not necessarily those of this station. Some examples of our polarity here are just a few. The former president is called a liar during the State of the Union address. Congressional softball players are shot at. Bombs are sent to political and media opponents of the president. Congress, while trying to do its constitutional duty, is accused of trying to conduct a witch hunt. And our media, with one exception, is renamed enemy of the people. Our press, which we have relied on for the truth over the years, is now our enemy. With the inception of tweets and blogs, it is difficult to consider the source to look for the truth ourselves. In addition, some religions and races are being restricted from coming to America. Freedom of speech, of expression, of religion, of the press, and of safety and justice are basic rights of all Americans, and they have been trashed by politicians and leaders that refuse to lose power or money. Who or what is to blame, and why? I'm afraid the answer to that can be found within ourselves. The American public must take some responsibility for allowing the truth to take a second seat to politicians who are masters of misdirection and telling lies. We all should be used to it, but when someone speaks of the way America used to be, or allows us to display our pent-up prejudices without consequences, we forget what makes us Americans. It isn't because we have an R or a D in front of our names. What makes our country great is our belief in compromise and acceptance of others. Nothing ever got honestly accomplished without these two things. The major part of the blame is far bigger than just hatred or closed-mindedness. The main culprit here is money, or the love of it. It always seems to be at the center of our problems. We've all heard the old slogan that money is the root of all evil. And although a solid case could be made that that is true, that isn't what the slogan says, is it? According to Timothy 6:10 in the King James Bible, the Apostle Paul first used the term in a letter to his son. It reads, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." All we have to do is watch the news to see how this is true. This love of money is displayed in the wealth of our corporations and their never-ending desire for more and more. The very real fear that they have of losing it is another reason. All of us realize how powerful money can be. Look at Halliburton during the first Gulf War, or look at the National Rifle Association's political contributions to our politicians of both parties. Pharma, drugs that should be available at lower prices, remain extremely high due to laws that do not allow Medicare to negotiate for cheaper ones. A good historical example of the power of the wealthy can be found at the turn of the last century, when Karl Marx, a German economist, brought communism into the limelight. His Workers of the World Unite made communism very popular to the working man, and Marx's basic premise of the workers will take over the means of production didn't sit well with wealthy publishers such as Hearst and Pulitzer. There were other writers who filled our newspapers with the fear of communism. Newspapers immediately developed hundreds of stories which put the idea of being a communist or following the manifesto to being a leper. Other newspapers joined in, and soon to be called a communist is similar to being called a socialist or a terrorist today. The tools of the wealthy protected their empires. To solve this massive problem, we must work together and come up with a solution. As a former teacher who once taught economics and political thought, I tried to get my students to not take anything political as being the truth until they had researched the source and found any bias. I tried to teach them to think with their own brain and not be swayed by propaganda. Only then could they be sure that what they were reading or hearing was true. In the next few weeks, I will be covering some of the documents and writings that have had a lasting effect on American culture and politics, documents that are linked to our polarity and shed light on our dilemma. The Powell Memorandum of 1971 and President Dwight D. Eisenhower's farewell speech are just two of the writings I will be covering in my next broadcast. Please tune in at the next airing of the Fourth Friday News. For KCIW News, this is Dan Ford.
A reminder that Dan's opinions are not necessarily those of KCIW or its volunteer members, and we welcome your views. If you agree or if you disagree with Dan, let us know. Go to kciw.org and click on the contact link. And if you have a news story or if you're interested in being part of the KCIW news team, we'd love to hear from you as well. We hold editorial meetings every Tuesday from 11 to 1 at the KCIW studios, located on Chetco Avenue in the Compass Rose Black Trumpet Building. We're downstairs across from Misty Mountain Brewing. New ideas and new voices are always welcome. Still to come on Fourth Friday, Coach Ken with ways to increase your balance, plus fresh and local food finds with Kathleen Dixon from Otterbee's Market, and we'll take you to the 4th Annual Brookings Women's March. But first, making friends one warm shower at a time. That's what a local woman has done. Karen Rossman Clark says she's made friends from around the world by opening her home to weary travelers on bicycles. It's all part of a global network called warmshowers.org. We caught up with Karen on Chetco Avenue. Okay, Karen, so tell me about Warm Showers. What is it?
It's an organization that provides hosting for cyclists that are cyclists from around the world, and they need a place to stop for a warm shower, for a hot meal, for a bed. Now, they don't, cyclists I found only stop like every 7 days, and they might even stay for maybe 2 or 3 days because they need to rest because they've gone uphill in the Oregon coast. Now, you don't get paid. There's no trade-off, but everybody I've hosted has just stepped up and helped and walked my dogs, cleaned the chicken coop, fixed meals. One guy from York, England, fixed us Yorkshire pudding. So we get some benefits, and it's better than TV because every night is just this incredible conversation.
What is the website that we go to?
It's warmshowers.org.
And you just have to have a warm shower and a kitchen? And
yeah, a bed. They don't care if they have a bed. I had 11 people at one time. We had fires south of here, so they didn't know what to do. And I had two families with children. I've hosted two families, three families. I had one family with a year-old and a two-year-old from Germany. And then I got a family with four children, 9 to 15 years old. Every one of those kids is riding their own bike, and they're in Baja right now. And they're going to be gone for a year. And then I had another family from Quebec that had a four-year-old and a year-old. And they have them in, they're pulling them in trailers on their bikes. It's a wonderful feeling because you meet all these people from different cultures.
And if, like Karen Rossman Clark, you're interested in meeting different people from different cultures, it's as easy as going online to warmshowers.org. And it's especially important to folks during the winter months. Well, no need to tell you, it's January, and that means cold weather. But here's something you might not know. Sometimes our cold weather is due to the polar vortex. What's that? Well, the polar vortex is a fast-flowing jet stream of air that circles the North Pole. You'll find the polar vortex in the upper parts of the stratosphere, about 20 miles above the Earth's surface. Now, when the polar vortex is strong, it keeps most of that frigid Arctic air in the polar region, which means mild winter temperatures in the middle latitudes of the eastern United States and northern Europe and Asia. But when the polar vortex weakens, that once-trapped cold air escapes and pushes southward. That's what brings polar temperatures and extreme winter weather into the United States. Now, under normal winter conditions, the polar vortex is strong enough to keep even the coldest air bottled up in the north. But in recent winters, we've seen exceptionally mild temperatures in the far north. And this happens when the jet stream weakens and wobbles, allowing the polar vortex to descend southward. The triggers that lead to these warming events are not known, but one theory blames the rapidly diminishing Arctic sea cover, and that theory is gaining prominence. In fact, climate research suggests that without the Arctic sea ice cover to act as a blanket, heat escapes from the oceans and warms the air above. Researchers found that this relatively warmer air interacts with and weakens the winds over the Arctic, and that allows frigid polar air to more easily escape to southerly places like Chicago and Boston. Now, it's important to note that these cold blasts don't mean that the Earth is cooling. In fact, it's the warming of the planet that's causing these cold disruptions, displacing the Arctic air. And here's something else to consider. Despite these cold periods, most of the Earth still experiences warmer than average temperatures in any given month, and 9 of the 10 warmest years on record for Earth as a whole have come in the last 10 years. You're listening to Fourth Friday, a KCIW News Magazine program. I'm Lori Gallo Stoddard, and you may not be aware that KCIW is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. KCIW is your community radio station. We give the people in this town a voice. Find out more about KCIW and get involved at kciw.org. We're run entirely by volunteers, and if you're one of those folks who wants to know the inside story, well, our news department has openings for reporters, and we're also looking for movie and food critics. If you're more of a behind-the-scenes person, you can always be part of the excitement, helping to organize one of our live open mic events. And, of course, your generous donations help KCIW to stay on the air, so please send us your checks. KCIW is on your dial at 100.7 FM, and we're online at kciw.org. Here's something interesting to know. Harvesting and eating fruits and vegetables in season is the very best way to get the very best nutrition. So what's fresh, local, and in season? Kathleen Dixon of Otterbee's Market makes it her business to know. So Kathleen, tell me what's in season right now.
Okay, well, this is the year of the carrot. I don't know what it is on the Chinese zodiac, but in Brookings Harbor, it's the year of the carrot. And I say that because the carrot crop at our local farms is fabulous. They both grow a very sweet, it's called a candy stick or something like that, carrot, and it is as sweet as can be. And like other crops that get sweeter when it's colder out, carrots will do the same thing. And smart farmers leave their carrots in the ground until they're ready to harvest, which is why when you get your carrots from your market or your farmer's market or from Otterbee's Market, you'll notice that they're crisp and they snap, and it's as though they were harvested just that day, which in most cases they were. So now is the time to buy carrots, and now is the time to make carrot cakes and carrot soup and put, I don't know, grate and freeze carrots for later use. Just think of all the ways you snack on carrots. That's what I do. I'm trying to lose weight, and so my go-to is carrots. And I just last night cut about, I don't know, a half a pound of carrots up. I do use a dip, so, you know, it's not completely calorie-free. But I sat in front of the TV munching on carrots last night. They are amazing. They won't last forever. We will run out about probably, my guess is going to be March, April, when the winter crop is finally gone. And then you'll have to wait until summertime for the next batch of carrots.
What else is in season right now, Kathleen? What are you seeing the local folks growing?
So this is the time for brassicas. That is a family of plants that includes kale, broccoli, collards, cabbages, kohlrabi, those types of crops. And right now the kale is, it's in its winter season. So it's small leaves, it's baby leaves, but they're so small they can't be bunched easily. And so the farm that I work with sells them in bulk at this point. And so my customers will get a bag, a half pound bag with probably 5 different varieties of kale. If you're not a big fan of kale, this is a good time to try it because they're quite tender. And some of them don't even really need cooking. You could try them in a salad, or you could pop them in a soup. Wonderful, wonderful time for kale. And again, brassicas are one of those crops that as it gets colder, they get sweeter. Brussels sprouts is a great example. Another brassica. And Brussels sprouts, they just get so sweet after a frost. Same with kale, same with cabbage. So now is the time to be loading up on your brassicas. Some of the highest nutrition and lowest calorie foods are the brassica family. Kale is, I think, number one on the list of vegetables that you should be eating regular. It's got tons and tons of antioxidants, et cetera, et cetera. Other people know more about that than I do. All I know is kale is up there on the top of the list.
Kathleen has more information about kale and other fresh foods. You'll find it at otterbeesmarket.com. And while eating lots of kale is absolutely good for you, it's not all you can do to keep your body healthy and strong. Coach Ken says you also need to move, and that's especially important as we age, because it's not a question of if, but more likely when you will fall. And he's got ways to make a fall less formidable.
Hello and welcome. I'm Coach Ken with another fitness tip to help you regain and maintain a healthy, active lifestyle. Today I want to talk about creating a fall-resistant body. Most of us are very aware of the potential for disability if we fall. If you ask most folks why they think people fall, they will usually cite loss of balance. Certainly balance is a component of falling. But I believe there is actually 3 trainable elements that contribute to a fall. The first element is failure to establish and maintain our base of support outside of our center of gravity and doing it quickly. Our center of gravity is located roughly around our belly button, so maintaining a wide stance or base of support will improve your ability to maintain an upright position. It is critical that we incorporate quick movements into our movement practice. Remember, we are actually training our nervous system to react quickly to changes. Therefore, training movements like agility ladder drills are a safe and effective way to keep your nervous system sharp and reacting quickly. The second element of a fall is our lack of ability to create what we call eccentric strength, or the ability to decelerate our momentum when we try to catch ourselves. This type of strengthening teaches us to develop deceleration strength. For example, if you do squats, whether they're weighted or just with body weight, try the following cadence. Take 4 counts to lower down as close to a parallel thigh position as you can, then hold it for 2 counts isometrically, and then return to the standing position. This reduced cadence pattern can be applied to just about any exercise, whether it be push-ups, pull-ups, deadlifts, etc., and teaches your body how to safely decelerate. Another excellent fall-resistant movement is practicing multi-planar lunges. Most of you have done forward lunges, but rather than continuing to move forward, try staying in place using an alternate forward step or lateral steps if you wish. As you step with your lead foot, contact with your forefoot, then get your heel down quickly, bending your knee to absorb your landing. Next, once in this split stance, slowly lower down again 3 to 4 counts, hold for 2 at the bottom, and then return to an upright position. This simple pattern will improve your dynamic balance, your deceleration strength, and your confidence, so that you can catch yourself if you need to. The third and final element of a fall is loss of balance. Doctors will often screen their high-risk patients to see if they can stand on one leg for approximately 15 seconds and then repeat on the other side. While standing balance is certainly important, think of standing up and pulling your pants up. Very few of us actually fall while we're standing still. So in my mind, it is actually dynamic balance that we should really encourage everyone to practice if you're concerned about falling. As with any movement practice, be sure you practice in a safe environment for your ability. If you are a little bit shaky, then practice in a doorway or near a countertop or railing. As I mentioned in the previous section, practice taking small forward and backward steps, pausing for a count of 3 to 4 seconds before returning to your start position. This can also be practiced laterally by taking a small lateral step to the right, stick that landing for 3 to 4 seconds, and then return back to the left foot. Then repeat on the other side. Again, the key to successful dynamic balance is learning to land on your forefoot, then immediately getting your heel down and bending at the knee all at the same time to absorb the landing. So there you have it, three elements of falling that you can integrate into your movement practice. And to review those again, establish a wide base of support outside of your center of gravity quickly. Include some deceleration strength training where you're taking 4 counts to lower down, holding for 2 isometrically, and then returning to the top to create the necessary strength to control your momentum should you start to trip or fall. And finally, practice both static, being able to stand on one leg for 15 seconds, and dynamic balance, where you take a forward, backward, lateral, or even a rotational step or hop, and then stick that landing for 3 to 4 seconds. As always, be well, be fit.
The 4th annual Women's March on the morning of January 18th was a wet one here in Brookings, but despite the cold and rain, scores of community activists showed up, signs in hand, and took to the streets. So why were so many people willing to give up their Saturday morning to brave the wind and rain?
I'm Susan Shampo, and I'm marching because I'm not going to change the country, and neither is the country going to change me. I'm marching because this is what I believe in. Dump Trump, ditch Mitch. We need to take back over everything in blue.
Vicky, and I'm marching for my granddaughter so she has a better future.
I'm V. It's my first march, and because I believe in truth and honesty and justice for all.
I'm Lisa, and I'm marching for democracy and saving the planet.
Victor Ortega, and just for women's rights in general.
Maria Dicker, women's rights.
We're both pissed off grandmas.
My name is Pam, and I'm marching because I'm just sick and tired of the current situation.
I'm Joe, and I'm marching for women's rights.
I'm Sierra, and we need to take back our country.
What's your name?
Les.
Why are you marching?
For women's rights.
Yes, women's rights.
Oh, I'm Marsha, and I'm here for my granddaughter and 2 great daughter-in-laws, and I'm excited because we have a new era that's coming. The women are going to run it.
Women's empowerment, human empowerment.
My name is Sandra, and I'm marching because this is totally right.
Sue, because this all has to stop.
My name is Janice, and I'm marching for all of us.
The Brookings Women's March lasted for about an hour and a half, from 10:30 until noon. It began at the Democrats' office, then wound its way through town, going both north and south on Chetco Avenue, and stopped for a rally at Bankus Park before heading south again. In between, marchers got lots of drive-by support, with most cars honking horns and drivers showing thumbs up. But there was one very noticeable pickup with a large Trump 2020 flag flying in the truck bed that continued to drive along the same route as the marchers, circling the block several times. There were 2 men in the truck.
Hey guys, do you want to talk to me for a sec?
Sure.
I'm Lori, I'm with KCIW Radio. So what are your names?
Mine's Tim.
Mine's Steve.
And nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you.
I've noticed you making the rounds a couple of times. Tell me why you're doing that.
We just want to support.
Yeah,
our
we got to do our part.
Bit, just so you know, it's not, it's a little bit balanced. You know.
Okay. All right. Do you think you're making a point?
I think we're at least showing our support for who we think is doing a good job.
Absolutely. Trump's doing a magnificent job.
And why wouldn't you just march with signs? Why are you making the rounds? Why
because
would you...
we didn't even know anything was going on. So, yeah, we just said, oh. And I called Tim. And we just thought,
came out.
At least get out here and just support.
Support the president.
Yeah.
My name is Sherry Beck, and I'm marching because I need to get rid of Trump before he kills me.
This madness has to stop.
Trump is just the latest in the extremes of fascist republicanism.
My name is Catherine Wiley, and I am marching because I believe, number one, in passing the ERA, number two, in getting rid of Agent Orange.
I'm Edie Vialli, and I'm marching because Trump needs to go. I'm tired of bigotry and assault on women. I want women's rights all the way.
I'm Trisha Bruins from California, and I'm marching because I love our country and I want to restore its democracy.
And I'm Amy from Crescent City, and I'm marching because truth matters and our children matter.
I'm Larry, this is my wife Julie, and we're marching because we're proud citizens.
Organizers say they were very pleased with the surprising number of folks who showed up despite the bad weather and called the 4th annual Brookings Women's March a terrific success. They also remind us that Gold Beach and Port Orford also held sister marches. And we at KCIW would like to remind you that community matters. Research shows that folks who are involved in their community live longer, happier, and healthier lives. Some easy and inexpensive ways to meet like-minded people include joining a church or taking a class. The Southwestern Community College campus here in Brookings offers a series of classes and get-togethers, all completely free. Past classes have included learning about local mushrooms, where to find them, how to identify them, and how to cook them. Medicare 101, and a series on alternative and complementary medicine. All of these classes are free and all are part of the SWOC and Beyond program, and you can find out more by calling the campus at 541-813-1667. Again, that number, area code 541-813-1667. And here are some of the stories the KCIW News Department is working on for the next edition of Fourth Friday. We'll take you to Kalmiopsis Elementary School, show you what smart readers sound like and why it's such an important program. And we'll take a look at special tax districts. What are they? And why there's such a lot of controversy about them, especially at the County Commissioner's Office these days. You've been listening to Fourth Friday. Fourth Friday is a KCIW News Magazine program made possible by a grant from the Meyer Memorial Trust and from viewers like you. Please consider supporting KCIW generously. You can find out more on kciw.org. I'm Lori Gallo-Stoddard, and a big thank you to Dan Ford, Ken Doberpool, Kathleen Dixon, and Vicki O'Hara for making today's broadcast possible. For all of us at KCIW News, thanks for listening.